if you do everything you're meant to do, you're getting up to the 8 euro AR. If I only do one of the two actions, I'm getting up to the 2 euro AR. If I do neither of the actions, I'm down then up to the 160 euro. And you can multiply that then by the number of euros you have or the payable number you've put in. So it's important, whatever you commit to doing, that you carry it out and within the time frames.
Hello, I'm Kieran Lynch, and welcome to Overcast, the Chocolate Sheep podcast. Each episode, we'll bring you latest insights, advice, and technical updates for the sheep industry. Now, this week's episode, I'm joined by David Buckley from the Department of Agriculture to discuss some key aspects of the new National Sheep Welfare Scheme. We discussed the eligibility, reference numbers, and application procedure. David takes us through the various tasks, explaining how each of them would work and what documentation is required. We finish up discussing payment dates, administrative checks, and the help desk contact details. We start off and we hear first from David, who gives us an overview of the scheme itself.
So yeah, look, the National Sheep Welfare Scheme is a scheme, a 15 million scheme introduced, national scheme in 24. The applications will open in 24 or are open and will be paid out in 2024. So this is in addition to the Sheep Improvement Scheme. So the important point is a farmer can be in only the National Sheep Welfare Scheme if that's what they so wish, or they can be in both if they so wish. So the payment is 8 euro per year. Once they carry out the two actions they select.
Okay, so it's similar to the previous one. It is an action-based scheme again. We might get into them in a bit more detail. Look, certainly it's good help. Just in terms of eligibility, who can apply for this, David?
Okay, so in terms of eligibility, when the farmer goes in to submit their application, we're going to present the farmer or their FAS advisor on their behalf with their EO numbers for both 2020, 21 and 22. And in addition, we're going to present their 2023 number. So the important thing is that to be eligible, you must have had at least the 2023 census lodged by the 14th of February, 2024.
Okay, so look, it has to, obviously it'll have to be an active flock number on the department, has to have the census gone in. There is scope, of course, in this one for new entrants as well. They might have only got into sheep last year.
Absolutely, Kieran. Yeah, so it could well be a farmer that literally only, as you say, got into sheep last year, and once they submitted their sheep census by the 14th of February 2024, putting down that they had whatever 100 breeding ewes on the 31st of December 23, that they're perfectly eligible to apply. And then the other important piece is they must, which is a standard thing in any event for all farmers, they must submit their 2024 their BIS application, what would have been their old BPS application, by the 15th of May of this year too.
Okay. So look, we're talking about applying for it. You might just take me through the application procedure. Look, it's open at the moment. We've covered the dates maybe, David, and then how we'd actually just go about applying.
Yeah, okay. So the scheme opened on the 8th of April, closing date of the 21st of May, and then there's a further opportunity for farmers to apply up to the 15th of June for those 25 days. But in those cases, they'd be into a late penalty. So look, would strongly obviously advise that if a farmer is minded to go into the scheme, to make sure they apply by midnight on the 21st of May. So two important pieces here is the farmer can apply themselves if they have access to ag food and are so minded to do it. Very simple application process, literally a couple of minutes work. Or alternatively, of course, they can go to their FES approved advisor if that's what they so wish. And they may well do it in tandem with their normal BPS application. So once they go in, as I said, we will present the farmer with their census numbers that they recorded themselves for 2020 to 2022, those 3 years, and we'll present them with their 2023. And importantly, the system will give the farmer the best possible benefit here. So if my three-year average 2020 to 2022 was 100 euros, and in my 2023 is 90, for argument's sake, I might have been reducing or just happened to be down in that particular year, we will still present the farmer with the 100. And it's up to the farmer themselves to put in a box there that are payable number. In that box, put in how many euros are they going to carry their actions out on in 2024. And important, whatever number they put in there. So in my case, if I put in my 100 there, I'm committing to carrying out my chosen two actions on 100. So just to be really mindful, they put in the right number, they carry out the actions on that number, and they record in their action record sheets that set out there on page 15, I think it is, of the terms and conditions. They accurately record the actions they've carried out and on that number they've entered.
So that will be important for somebody that's maybe after reducing, look, a difficult spring that most have faced, that you're realistic in what number you're going to put in, and that's the number you need for your tasks.
Absolutely, that's the number for our tasks. And maybe later on in this, if we come to payments and penalties, I can go through that just so that we're very clear on what a farmer is committing to. But an important thing to say, it's an action-based scheme, as you've said yourself, Ciarán. So if I commit, for argument's sake, for doing shearing and plunge dipping, and all things being equal, my number's 100, then I'm committing to carrying out that action on 100 for shearing 100 and plunge dipping 100, and accurately recording that in action record sheets.
And look, there's a couple of caveats there in the numbers. I'm sure David will come on to in a moment. But look, the key date again there is you'll encourage everybody basically in by the 21st of May.
Absolutely. Well, there's 25 days late, so to speak, to apply. Where you apply late, you're getting a 1, 2, and up to a 16%, and then up to 100% on the 15th of June. So if you're minded, make sure to apply by the 21st of May.
Okay, look, a little over a month to go to it. Look, in terms of the actions, you mentioned them there earlier. Maybe just give me an overview of it first, and we'll discuss the actions in detail then.
Okay, so there's four actions in total in the scheme. And in fairness, we would have sat down with the farm bodies earlier on in the year and even the back end of last year to trash these out. So there's Category A actions and there's Category B actions. And unlike in the sheep improvement scheme, we don't make any distinction between hill flocks and lowland flocks. So Category A actions, there's two actions for a farmer to choose from: shearing or body condition scoring of yours and any appropriate follow-up management practices. And then in Category B, the clostridial vaccination of yours and or should I say the plunge dipping. So two choices: Category A, shearing or body condition scoring; Category B, two choices: vaccination of yours and plunge dipping. And where you commit to it, you're carrying out your both actions by the completion date of the 15th of October, and I can come to that in a few moments.
Okay, so that is one action from Category A, either shearing or body condition scoring, and then the one action from Category B. So you have a bit of choice to suit your system and
absolutely, yeah. Speaking. Absolutely. And look, in many cases, there'll be some farmers who may well be carrying out some of these actions anyway, but be that as it may, they just need to carry it out in compliance with the T's and C's and make sure they accurately record it. And in other cases, they may not have done body condition scoring before, so this could well be a new action for them.
Okay. But again, look, it's all equally applicable across the board. I suppose it's a case of pick what's best suits your own practice on your farm. Look, in the Category A ones, so in terms of shearing, for instance, what do they have to carry out for that task? Obviously, okay, so, I am assuming, but just for it to be compliant, like.
Yeah, okay. So there's a couple of maybe to go through it in detail. So in terms of shearing, so it's entirely up to the farmer if they select to do shearing, whether they want to shear themselves or to get a contractor in. So there's no issue. If it's a case that they get a contractor in, and either an on-the-spot inspection, or if we look for some evidence from the farmer themselves, then in that case, we'd obviously expect a contractor receipt from Johnny contractor for X amount of money carried out at the appropriate time frame. Where they do it themselves, no major issue with that. I know there's many people who either do it themselves or they might have a neighbour that helps them out. No issue with that. But in the main, in that case, we'd be looking for some evidence of the sale of wool to a wool merchant. And importantly, again, and just to emphasise it, make sure that they're carrying out the action on whatever that payable number they put their application in. So if they put in for 100, then their evidence needs to indicate that they carried out the action on the 100.
Okay. And again, look, you've covered the scenario there where somebody sheared themselves. You know, your wool doc will cover you. I suppose the other thing in that, David, just as with all tasks within the scheme, has to be completed between the 1st of January to the 15th of October. So it does still give opportunities there for those winter shearing or autumn shearing to actually apply for this task.
Absolutely. So while this is a national scheme, it's a 2024 scheme, and it is only opening as it did on the 8th of April. That's not to say that a farmer could not have carried out the actions earlier in 2024. So it may well be a case that the winter sheared, or the case that the vaccinated yours on the 2nd of February 24. That's not an issue, even though it is before the opening date. Once it's in 2024, it's carried out in the right number of yours, and it's accurately recorded in the action record sheets.
So that's the shearing one. It's fairly straightforward. Again, look, if it doesn't fit with your system, you have an option there to pick body condition scoring instead. So just maybe take us through what's involved in the body condition score task.
Okay, so on the body condition scoring task there, and set out on the terms and conditions there on page 12. So there's a couple of important things there. Where the farmer is committing to doing that action, they're committing to carrying out two assessments. So they're committing to condition scoring their yours on two separate occasions. The first one being between the 15th of April and the 15th of July 24, and the second one being between the 1st of August and the 15th of October 2024. So in that case, they're in my fictitious example of the 100 joes here, I'm looking at my 100 joes, I'm putting them through the chute, and I'm assessing them on that scale of 1 to 5 in that first period, the 15th of April to the 15th of July, and rounding them up again sometime after the 1st of August and the 15th of October, and putting them through it. Accurately recording, where are they, 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 in the action record sheet, and for those that are 1 or 2, giving them some bit of either an extra bit of meal or putting them into a bit of aftergrass or whatever, some extra bit of treatment to help them on.
Okay, so for that task then, we're recording how many fall within each of those condition scores.
Exactly. And once again, and I know I'm repeating it, but just to be to hammer home the point, accurately recording it and making sure that it reflects all of that payable number of yaws you put in. So if it's 100 yaws, that when someone sits down to sum up those five boxes of 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5, that it comes to your 100 yaws in my example.
Okay, and again, the two dates, the two windows that has to be completed when is important for that task.
Exactly.
Look, another good option is there. If we move to category B then, we've our two tasks again within us. Well, plunge dipping is one of the first ones there. So what's involved in that plunge dipping task?
Okay, so in terms of the plunge dipping, and this would have been there would have been a lot of discussion on this with your own colleagues in Chagas as well. So first and foremost, so it is plunge dipping. It's not shower dipping. This is plunge dipping and plunge dipping only. So a couple of questions was the queries that we've got in over the last week or two. So no issue again for a farmer gets a contractor in to do this. No issue whatsoever with that. If it's a case that they either have their own tank or they maybe have access to a neighbor's tank next door, no issue with doing that. Other than in the event that they are inspected, then the inspecting officer will obviously want to see the tank either on the farmer's own holding or on that they have access to the neighbors next door where they're doing that. Same again, completion date of the 15th of October. I'll be with that later date that we'll touch on maybe later. Once again, accurately recording in that action record sheet that they're doing it on the payable number that they have. So in my case, the 100, and just making sure that you have that completed on the chosen time. So by the 15th of October, 24 in the main.
Okay. And look at the evidence. Obviously there is either the contractor's receipt or receipt of purchase for the dip, the chosen dip.
Exactly. So if it's a case, and look, there's obviously lots of scenarios out there. Maybe in some cases they're getting the contractor in, but the contractor may not buy the dip. They might be buying the dip themselves. So once again, what we will require from the farmer is concrete and clear evidence that they have carried out the action. And where they did it themselves, then they're still going to have to buy the dip, or where they got a contractor in, they're going to have a contractor receipt and or with the plunge dip receipt as well.
Okay. So the second action in that category B is vaccination. You might take us through this one. So this one, there's a few maybe caveats around this one as well. And what we're talking about here is clostridial vaccination we're talking about here.
We're talking about clostridial vaccination here. And where the farmer is in that cycle, then they've already vaccinated their yaws in earlier on this year. And the same as we spoke about with the winter shearing, that's no issue. Once the yaws were vaccinated in 24, so that may well have been in said the second half of January into February, whatever their system is when they're lambing them down. However, in the case where they're not in that cycle, there's no issue with them vaccinating their lambs. Right? So in that case, then there's two vaccinations for the lambs. There's one from 3 weeks of age, and then that booster vaccination, and it's all the lambs that are in your payable number of yaws. So if for argument's sake, I had 100 yaws in my example there, and I had 152 lambs or whatever from them, I'm not in that cycle of vaccinating my yaws. I can vaccinate my lambs and my 152 lambs in that case. Once again, the two shots accurately recorded in the action record sheet.
Okay. So for absolute clarity, so for the O's in a cycle every year with their clostridial vaccinating, the only is the booster shot that they will have already got because most are finished lambing now,
yeah,
according to the manufacturer's instructions. But if you didn't do that, David, as you just outlined, you do your lambs, but you have to complete the full course, which is the two shots.
You have to complete the full course, the two shots, and for all the lambs that came off that them payable number of O's that we're talking about in the scheme.
And again, look for evidence on that. It's there in the record sheets and showing the receipt again of purchase of the product.
Yeah, and I know we're hammering home the point about the action record sheets, but this is something, and it's a natural thing. We've seen it in the sheep improvement scheme too. Sometimes, like everybody might say, sure, it's obvious I've done it, but we will require solid evidence. So it's going to have to be accurately recorded in the action record sheets, right dates, right numbers, and within the time frames.
David, there might be a few cases where that 15th of October date just might match, whether it's for hill flocks or otherwise. What do you do in that scenario?
just the important thing to say on the 15th of October. So the 15th of October 2024 closing date, or 15th of October 2024 completion date for the actions. That's what's in the terms and conditions, and it's equally applicable across all four actions. And that was put in there to facilitate us being able to make the payments in approximately around the middle of November 2024. Now, there are a number of farm bodies have been on to us looking for a bit of flexibility around that for a later date, particularly maybe for the likes of hill flocks, where they might be letting out the ram until into maybe the first half of November, and they might want to take them down and do plunge dipping and whatever at kind of late October into early November. So there is a facility now where farmers can opt for a later completion date for their actions of the 25th of November 2024 if they so wish. But there's two caveats to that. If they want to do that, they must inform us in writing before the 15th of September 2024. That's really important. So they must tell us by the 15th of September 2024. And also then they're doing it in the full knowledge that it does mean that their payments, they won't be paid in the middle of November, clearly. And it in all likelihood, it will be the end of December into early January before they'll get paid. So just as with all applications, be mindful of the actions you select. And if you're looking for that derogation request, all things being equal, we'll facilitate them, but just make sure to tell us before the 15th of September and be mindful of the later payment date.
Okay. So that's the task. Like we outlined fairly well, and there's more details obviously in the T's and C's. I'll throw a link to that up in the show notes. Look, if we talk about the scheme payable number, it does differ slightly from the previous one. You mentioned some aspects of it earlier. We might just recap it again. So now that we've gone through the tasks and people realise what they have to do for the year, might just recap what that number, how that number is calculated. And maybe in that, David, like, look, I suppose we're post-slamming now, there'll be empty culls being sold off. For those that keep their own replacements once across that year old, where they fall into that system?
So I suppose the first thing to say then is, and this is simple maths for me here now. So if I'm a farmer and I'm looking at me, I'm logging in now to AgFood and I'm seeing my screen for my National Sheep Welfare Scheme, I'm going to see my census numbers that are completed for 2020, 21 and 22. And we'll just say, for argument's sake, it's 100 in all of them 3 years. The system is going to give you the 3-year average. The 3-year average there is 100 in that case. It's then going to present my 2023 number. And if my 2023 number is 110, right, as in 10 higher than my 3-year average, the payable number is going to be 110. So we're giving the best possible benefit to the farmer. And even if my 2023 number is only 90, we're still going to present 100 to them. We're going to give the best possible benefit to the farmer. But it's up to the farmer or advisor to then put in what is the actual number that they're going to carry their actions out on this year. So look, yeah, exactly. If there's a few empties gone and they have 10 or 15 or whatever that are over the 12 months of age, they're perfectly fine in terms of coming into the scheme. But the important thing, and just to hammer home that point, whatever that number is they put into their payable number, 100 in my example there again, that's the action. That's what they're committing to carrying out. The farmers committing to carrying out their two chosen actions on. And the other thing then, just maybe to add here, Kieran, which is different than the Sheep Improvement Scheme. So the Sheep Improvement Scheme is a multi-annual contract. It's a 5-year scheme. This is an annual scheme here. It's action-based. So if it's a case that I put in for 100, and I can provide solid evidence that I've carried out my actions on it, it may well be the case that the 100 drops to 80 in October. It's not a case that they have to carry that 100 for the 12 months of the year. So that's an important distinction between this and the Sheep Improvement Scheme.
Just maybe to throw another point on that one, for somebody for whatever reason had reduced numbers this year, David, they can obviously notify prior to this being completed and reduced. I suppose I will also notify service notification for the other sheep welfare of the Sheep Improvement Scheme.
Yeah, so look, it's the same on our own side here in direct payments in Port Leash. So it's the same section of staff, our own crew that are looking at the Sheep Improvement Scheme as in the National Sheep Welfare Scheme. So if they are notifying something into sheep schemes at agriculture.gov.ie, both schemes are going to be notified. So there's no need to be sending separate notifications or anything like that.
Because circumstances can change, that's yeah, part of the course. Look, we kind of touched on some of this in terms of administrative compliance checks, records you have to keep for. It might be just no harm to highlight a few of those again, and maybe some of the penalties that could be incurred if they're not completed correctly.
Yeah. Okay. So, as with unfortunately all things in life, it's like taxes. Inspections are a necessary part of this. So whether that's physically somebody coming out to the farm to check out compliance, or whether it's the sheep section here requesting some evidence from the farmer. So once again, and I'm going to repeat it, but it is important, whatever that payable number you put in and whatever your two chosen actions are, it take, for argument's sake, shearing and plunge dipping, you're completing your action record sheets, clearly demonstrating that you've carried out the action for on 100 for both those actions. If it's the case that you're inspected, there'll be certain checks they'll want to do in terms of whether it's evidence of the if you've said you're using your own dip tank or whatever you're plunge dipping. And also then documentary evidence around receipts, whether that's receipts for purchasing sheep dip or whether it's an invoice from the contractor for plunge dip or for shearing or whatever. So that's important. And then making sure that you accurately record in your action record sheet the date of the carrying out the actions, and ensuring that if you take the body condition scoring, that you've carried out the action in the right time frame. You've carried out two separate assessments in the appropriate time frame. So then in terms of payments then, so the payment is up to the €8 per yo. So if, in a very simple example, the simple maths for myself. So if I had 1 yo and I do both my actions, I'm getting €8. So it's €8 a yo. I select my two things. I've only one yo. I'm getting €8. If I select two actions and I only do one of them, I'm not getting the €4 for the action I didn't do. So I'm down €4 straight away. And then I get a 50% penalty on the other €4. So which means I'm getting €2. So if I had 1 euro and I only did one of the actions, whichever one it is, and I didn't do the other one, I'm getting €2. Then, crucially then, if I have my 1 euro, my €8 payment potentially, and I don't do either of the actions, then I'm into negative territory. I'm getting a 20% penalty. So I'm getting 20% of what I should have been due. So in that case, I'm down €1.60 on my one euro example. So if you do everything you're meant to do, you're getting up to the €8. If I only do one of the two actions, I'm getting up to the €2. And if I only, if I do neither of the actions, I'm down then up to the 160 euro. And you can multiply that then by the number of euros you have or the payable number you've put in. So it's important, whatever you commit to doing, that you carried out and within the time frames.
So do the two tasks, get the €8 payment, keep the records right.
Yes. Yeah,
that is important. Look, payment dates for this, David, as you said, look, it's a one-year scheme at the moment. Tasks all completed within this year. Payment to come out this year as well?
Yeah, so our intention would be that we will do a pay run for the main part of the population that hasn't opted for that later date. That in the main, we'd be paying cleared cases or commenced cleared cases from around the middle of November 24. That's our expectation, and we're on track as things stand to deliver that. Where farmers do opt for the later completion date of the 25th of November, they must notify us by the 15th of September 24. And the reason I'm hammering home that point is it can't be a farmer, Dave Buckley, ringing the department on the 15th of October to say, Jesus, I never got around to doing these. So it's by the 15th of September. But in them cases, I'm committing or understanding that I won't be paid before the end of December, because there will be a series of checks and complaints checks that have to be done on those later population.
It goes in that later category. Look, David, for those maybe that have encountered some issues or a few queries on it, there's a helpline available for this one.
Yeah, so look, there's the helpline here for the main direct payments help desk here, 057-867-4422. So 057-867-4422. Sit out there in terms and conditions. Or if someone's on email, which obviously many people are, and we've got lots of queries, an email into sheepschemes@agriculture.gov.ie, and we'll do our best to get back to someone as quick as we possibly can.
So look, David, I'll include the link to your website on it, which goes through the terms and conditions, a lot of the frequently asked questions as well, some of the things we've discussed, and things you used to read, just for anyone who wants to go over a bit more detail on it. Other than that, look, thanks very much for coming on. It was great getting that update on it, and I'm sure something we'll be chatting about a later date again.
Yeah, and listen, thanks Ciarán, and thanks for the opportunity to feed into the more people. The more information we can get out to keep as many people between the ditches, the better for all of us. So
we'll leave it there for this week's episode, and have included a link in the show notes to the Department of Agriculture's webpage on it, where you'll get the terms and conditions, you get a list of the frequently asked questions, and a lot of the detail of what we've discussed in this podcast. Again, just a quick reminder, the closing date is the 21st of May for that, so something needs to be attended to in the coming weeks. That's it for me. For updates from our sheep programme, keep an eye on our Twitter page at Chagas Sheep. I'm Ciarán Lynch. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us for more episodes.